she was in trouble. A conversation now with Novak and the officials. This could be a very serious situation. Well, on we go. We had another look at the replay. I think it has, and I think it's done. And it looks like a default for Novak Djokovic. What a dramatic conclusion to what has already been a peculiar and dramatic Grand Slam tournament. The run of 26 matches has come to an end in the most peculiar and dramatic conclusion. The world number one, the top seed and the three-time champion has been defaulted at the US Open, and Pablo Carreño Busta is into the quarterfinals. Novak Djokovic, you would imagine, is devastated. We do hope the line official makes a full recovery.
That was the scene in New York over the weekend, site of the U.S. Open, where the number one tennis player on the men's side of the draw, the overwhelming favorite to win, with Rafael Nadal and also Roger Federer out. It was Novak Djokovic. It was his tournament to win. He would add to his major titles with 18. He'd be right there with Federer and Nadal for being maybe the best tennis player in the history of the game. And John McEnroe said it leading up to U.S. Open. The only way Novak Djokovic does not win the U.S. Open, in his opinion, was if Novak Djokovic beat himself. Well, he did inadvertently the other day at the U.S. Open. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. Wade and Dusty with you. Dusty will be with us actually here in just a little while, as the Sports Ticket is live and on the air on KD Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. Well, let's give you our broadcast schedule. We'll get back to the number one tennis player in the world being disqualified. We can tell you that we'll have high school football locker room chats coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to the football coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. That'll start at about 5:15 tomorrow evening. Then Thursday, we'll talk to the football coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. We do have volleyball action tonight. Live video stream at ncksports.com via Beloit Trojan Channel. Beloit Lady Trojans 1-1 on the season. We'll take on Republic County at 5 o'clock in the Red Cloud, Nebraska, at Red Cloud, Nebraska, and at Triangular at 6 o'clock. Both those varsity matches can be watched at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel. For a complete look at schedules and scores and so forth and so on, it's all available to you at ncksports.com. We'll also have Beloit's match against TMP Varsity on Thursday at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel, along with junior high football for Beloit down at Ellsworth on Thursday as well. Friday night, our high school football schedule, week two, Rock Hills at Lakeside on KD Country 94, Osborne at St. John's Tipton on Z96.3 Lake, and we'll also have Beloit at Southeast Saline, live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel. Kansas City Chiefs open up their season Thursday evening, pregame at 6 o'clock on a home for the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. I didn't think I'd ever say that in my life, but I get to do that here this year. That's one good thing about 2020. Chiefs open up defense of their Super Bowl championship with about 16,000 fans in attendance on Thursday at Arrowhead. Chiefs and the Texans, 6 o'clock pregame, kickoff about 7:20 to kick off the 2020 NFL football campaign. College football, Coastal Carolina will be at KU at 9 p.m. Saturday evening in Lawrence. Pregame at 8:30 on Z96.3 Lake. Arkansas State will be at K-State at 2:30. We're efforting to have a guest to talk K-State football this week and preview their game against Arkansas State. There were some college football games yesterday. BYU routed Navy 55-3 was that final. And also, there were some games on Saturday. Army beat Middle Tennessee State 42-0. North Texas won 57-31. Texas State lost to SMU 31-24. Memphis over Arkansas State 37-24. And Arkansas State will come to Manhattan, Bill Snyder Family Stadium, coming up on Saturday. And UTEP beat Stephen F. Austin by a final of 24-14. So there was some college football over the weekend. Now, bad news, there are some games that have been postponed due to COVID-19, although these games are expected to be made up a week later. TCU, SMU, supposed to play this weekend. That has been moved back to September 19th, next weekend. Same goes for Tulsa and Oklahoma State. They, too, will postpone their game this weekend and move it back a week. Also, here in the state of Kansas, a KCAC football game has been postponed. In a joint statement yesterday, Bethany College and University of St. Mary announced the postponement of the football game scheduled for Saturday, September 12th in Leavenworth. So they will make that up later on in the season. No specific COVID cases in particular for either one of those schools or teams. They're just taking precautions because of various outbreaks out in that area in Leavenworth and Kansas City area. So they're just being precautious and taking the necessary ways of going about things when it comes to that KCAC football game between Bethany College and University of St. Mary. K-State soccer season opener against Texas Tech has been postponed due to the coronavirus. Two Red Raiders for the Texas Tech soccer team tested positive COVID-19. So, as of now, K-State's supposed to play a football game on Saturday, as is KU, and the Chiefs are supposed to play on Thursday. But who knows what could change between now and then. I feel pretty good that we're going to have football on Thursday night with the Chiefs. KU, K-State, you never know. That could turn on a dime, as we've seen with high school sports as well. Once again, live video stream tonight, Beloit Volleyball against Republic County at 5 o'clock, Red Cloud, Nebraska at 6 o'clock. Remember that if you need to follow when we're doing video streams, go to nckssports.com, and then you'll know all the video streams that we're doing, and then you can be aware of those if you can't make it to the games. I understand Red Cloud, Nebraska has a limit as to how many people can go up there. I believe it's 2 per player, so that's another reason why you can enjoy the live video streams. Thanks to our sponsors for making all of that possible. Any local sports you want to share, Dusty?
Did you go through the rest of the volleyball schedule tonight at all?
Nope, okay. Don't have
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so that volleyball schedule it. For tonight, St. John's Tipton Quad going on in Beloit, St. John's Tipton, Southern Cloud, Pike Valley, and Chase competing there. Lakeside taking on Tescott in a couple varsity matches here this evening, and that's just a duel there. Then Rock Hills Triangular, Rock Hills, Osborne, and Thunder Ridge. Natoma, Lincoln, and Sylvan Lucas at the Natoma Triangular tonight, and then Smith Center, Stockton, and Hoxie in Mid-Continent League action in Stockton this evening. And Concordia at Abilene in the NCKL tonight as well. And then Osborne Girls Tennis is at the Hoisington Invitational as of now. That's scheduled for 3 o'clock this afternoon. Don't know what the weather's like in Hoisington, so if that we hear something different on that, we'll let you know. That's today's local sports schedule. That's also all posted at nckssports.com.
All right, speaking of tennis, Novak Djokovic, number one player in the world. We let off with the sports ticket with the sound of him being defaulted in the fourth round of the U.S. Open on Sunday after hitting a ball in frustration that struck a line judge on the court at Arthur Ashe Stadium. The line judge was hit in the throat. Interesting, I've seen some people say, hit in the upper body, hit in the neck, hit in the head. It's like, dude, it hit her in the Adam's apple. That's called the throat. Hello, anatomy 101. The throat is not, I mean, it's right here. Hello, right here, esophagus, and then there's Adam's apple. It's almost like people are covering for Novak Djokovic, like to make it to where it's not as bad as it really was. Believe it or not, a lady that was doing her job standing behind Novak Djokovic that did nothing wrong is receiving death threats today. This country is screwed up. When a lady is simply standing and doing nothing but staring straight ahead, and a tennis player inadvertently hits her with a tennis ball and hits it fairly hard in frustration because he's not playing well, somehow she deserves to die. It makes total sense. Total sense. That woman was asking for it. How stupid can people be in this country? How dumb can people be in this country? And if you're one of those people that thinks the line judge should die because she was overreacting when a tennis ball hit her in the Adam's apple, which usually I've been hit in the Adam's apple before. You feel like you can't breathe and you're going to die. You do. Excuse me for overreacting. Let me act like I'm not dying here. I can't breathe. Anybody hear that little slogan anytime in 2020? I can't breathe. I can't breathe. If you can't breathe, what are you going to do? You're not just going to stand up and like, it's out. The call's out. The ball's out. The ball's in as a line judge. No, it hits you in the Adam's apple. It takes away your breath. The airflow is cut off. Why did she was overreacting. She should get an Academy Award. People, any of you morons, I'm going to say it. I'm going to just lay it out there. And Dusty won't be brave enough to say those words. I will.
Oh, I would for this.
You will? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good. morons, anybody out there that believes the line judge did anything wrong and there's issuing death threats to that woman and then talking about how she acted and was overdramatic has obviously never been hit in the Adam's apple in their life. And they have no clue what they're talking about. And they're a whole bunch of nimrods for even talking about anything. I'm sorry. You may sit here, listen to the show right now, go, Wade, that's a lot of name calling. It is deserved. It is deserved. If you were the line judge, if you don't want to know what a line judge does, there are three of them behind each player at the U.S. Open, all right? And what they're doing is they're trying to watch a tennis ball hit about 105 miles per hour, whether or not it hits the line or it's out. That's their job. She was standing there straight up, and they're not supposed to really move, distract the player. They just pretty much got to be a statue. Their hands are to their side or behind their back. And they got one job. It's to see if the ball is in or out in their area. That's their job. So somehow this lady asked for a tennis ball to be hit into her Adam's apple and then temporarily not be able to breathe. And apparently she is the perpetrator and the criminal in all of this. Apparently she is the one that deserves to die. And apparently she is the one that is melodramatic. I would hope to God there is nobody listening to this show that believes that lady was overreacting. And I'd hope to God that nobody that's listening to this show right now believes that woman should be receiving death threats. And if you are a person out there that believes in either one of those things, then I really feel sorry for you. I like to think that this area doesn't say those type of things, but I don't know. There's always a bad apple somewhere, everywhere. It's ridiculous. Okay, Novak Djokovic was frustrated playing a game that he's really good at. The number one tennis player in the world, a 17-time Grand Slam champion, the top seed in this year's U.S. Open. And all he had to do was basically play, and he was going to win the thing. He was clearly the favorite. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he could have lost. He was down 6-5 in the first set against Busta over the weekend, all right, at the U.S. Open. And I'm going to tell you right now, Novak Djokovic is very fortunate, maybe, or unfortunate, or maybe fortunate. I don't know. It depends how you look at it, that there are no fans in attendance. Maybe fans in attendance would have allowed him to keep playing. I don't know. The officials that determined he was disqualified because he hit a line judge with a tennis ball inadvertently, and we'll set up the situation here in a moment, they might have been swayed by the crowd. Whether the crowd was, you know, booing and mad, or the crowd wanted him to keep playing, which they would have, because they paid money to see him play. So it's probably maybe a good thing for the U.S. Open this happened with no fans. We saw the controversy of Serena Williams just a few years ago with everything, with her verbal abuse of the official and everything else. And by the way, people comparing the two, I feel is a bit of a stretch here. But
there's nothing comparable about it.
Oh, well, there is. There's all kinds of articles and headlines talking about how a woman is being treated differently than a man in a situation, so forth and so on. If you don't know what happened, Novak Djokovic was frustrated. And he has done this more than once in his career where he'll slam his racket and break his racket. He'll hit a ball in disgust into the net. He'll hit it into a sideboard like he did earlier in this match and hit it a lot harder. He has already had been losing his cool, even though he was only down 6-5. But he wasn't playing the way he was capable of playing. Dusty and I both played tennis. If you've played tennis, you'll understand this. If you haven't, you may not. But if you played an individual sport, golf, tennis, whatever, any individual sport, maybe frisbee golf, I don't know. You get frustrated with yourself, right? You could be playing checkers and you're upset you missed a move, whatever. You play an individual sport, it's all on you. It's all on you. You can try to blame everybody else you want, but it's all on you. And trust me, I know this from experience. I lost my cool on the court numerous times when I was a freshman and sophomore. I cleaned it up my junior and senior year and matured, grew up a little bit. And then I excelled even more on the tennis court. I did very well my freshman, sophomore year, but my junior, senior year, I took off. Why? Because I was able to harness the negative energy to a point. Was I still frustrated? Would I yell at myself? Yeah, that's one thing. But to break your racket, I've done that before. To hit a tennis ball in disgust, yeah, I've done that before during a match. I did that my freshman and sophomore year. I probably did it my junior and senior year, too. But I don't have line judges that are there behind me or in front of me. I got to worry about hitting or anything like that. I'm just playing another person. We're each calling our own shots in and out, which sometimes certain players, I won't mention a name, but there was somebody, I just better not go any further with that. Anyway, that was very good at giving the short end of the stick and not being truthful about a ball being in, and it really was messed up. So in some ways, you really wish you did have a line judge on both sides. So the reason I'm sharing this information about Dusty and I back when we played tennis, any individual sport for that matter, is it's internal pressure. It's just you versus somebody else. That's it. And in golf, it's even probably, sometimes it's worse. It's you versus you. I mean, you ain't even playing anybody. You're playing the course. That's it. It's you versus the course. It's you versus the course. And it's you're fighting your inner demons. You're fighting your mental health issues, I guess, in a way you could say it without trying to stretch it too far. You have this internal battle between your ears, in your heart, whatever it might be. And it can be very frustrating when you're not playing very well. And so you can lose your temper. And we see it happen in team sports too. It's not just individual sports. We see it. We've seen it. Boxing's probably one where you can get pretty upset about not doing what you do. But of course, if you don't do what you do, you're probably knocked out on the canvas. So now you're not even knowing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Novak Djokovic has a history of losing his temper. I'm not bringing this up to say Novak Djokovic is a horrible guy because, listen, Roger Federer is one of the best guys to not lose his cool. He is so smooth. But he's lost his cool before. He has.
Sure.
But he's really smooth. John McEnroe talked about Bjorn Borg, who was the epitome of class, and McEnroe was the epitome of being a brat. That's what he was called back then. Bjorn Borg walked away and wasn't even there for the Wimbledon ceremony in 1981 when John McEnroe finally beat him. And McEnroe said he's always going to be stained for that or remembered for that, and he brought that up. Novak Djokovic, what he did the other day, he was frustrated, and he took a tennis ball, and he hit it a little extra hard without looking and hit the line judge. And he knows line judges are back there. He knows they're back there. And he hit the lady in the Adam's apple and made her go to her knees. And no, I don't think she was acting. So all of a sudden the U.S. Open has another controversy on their hands, and by no fault of their own, but by the player on the court, much like Serena Williams brought on her stuff, in my opinion, a few years ago, because she was playing like crud. She lost her temper. She lost her cool, and she got called out for, you know, getting advice from coaches, and then she lost her cool, and then she made it a sexist thing and everything else. And I remember watching that, and I thought it was over the top ridiculous. I thought it was horrible on Serena's part. That's just my opinion. I thought it was an easy way out for her because she was getting her butt kicked by a young player in Osaka. And I thought that was her way out. And she played it up very well. She said her statements without cursing towards the umpire and even brought up about sexism. It was almost like she planned it out a little bit. This was not pre-planned. This was not premeditated by Novak Djokovic. He was frustrated. His ball in disgust, and it hit the line judge. Here's the statement after Djokovic was defaulted. And here's the thing. They took 10 minutes to figure this out, which to me, that was ridiculous. But when it's the number one player in the world.
That was the number one player privilege, right?
That's exactly right.
That's what that was.
That's what that was. Because if it was any Joe Blow that was playing tennis, that wasn't even ranked. An unranked player, that would have been an automatic done.
Yeah.
Automatic done. So in accordance with the Grand Slam rule book, following his actions of intentionally hitting a ball dangerously or recklessly, which he did, within the court, or hitting a ball with negligent disregard of the consequences, the U.S. Open referee defaulted Novak Djokovic from the 2020 U.S. Open. Because he was defaulted, Djokovic will lose all ranking points earned at the U.S. Open. He'll be fined prize money won at the tournament, in addition to any or all fines levied with respect to the offending incident. Djokovic pled his case to the officials, which I would have done the same thing, even though I knew the rule that I'm probably done. I would have said, come on, man, it's U.S. Open. I'm ranked number one. Can you cut me a break? James Blake, who is the analyst on ESPN's coverage, he was a good American tennis player. Not great, but good. But he wasn't a number one player of the world. He made a very good point, and I loved what he said. He said, I commend the officials for sticking to the guns and not giving preferential treatment to the top-ranked players in the world, because trust me, as a person that wasn't a top-ranked player in the world, all of us other guys always felt the top-ranked players always got the benefit of the doubt. And you're right. If there is a rule in place, it should apply to everybody. There are people that don't understand that. There are people in this country that are going off about this situation because, well, you know, it's a rule, but it's the U.S. Open, but he's number one. There's no buts about it. You know, if somebody goes out and murders somebody, but he's a really good player. Let's let him get away with it. Well, there's a law. There's a rule, you know? So there shouldn't be preferential treatment. We should all live by the same laws and rules. We know there are people in this country that don't have to. We know that. We know politicians don't live by the same rules that Dusty and I live by and you live by, listening at home or in the car, wherever you are right now, to this show. We know that's not true. But we do know that people that are in authority, that have rules or laws, have the power to make it universal across the board. Now, whether they choose to be bribed and change their mind or whatever, or feel sorry for somebody, or somebody makes a compelling case and cries on their shoulder, and you feel sorry for them and you cut them a break, yeah, that could happen. Djokovic tried to make his case yesterday. My problem I have with Novak Djokovic is that he ran from it. My problem with Novak Djokovic is he ran from it. He did not answer questions afterwards. I mean, he had time to calm down, and I'm okay with him in some ways not addressing the press afterwards, but he would have scored so many more points had he just, you know, but dude, you made your bed, you lie in it. That was all on Novak Djokovic. Yeah. That had nothing to do with the other player, had nothing to do with the poor line judge lady who had a bruised throat from it, went to the hospital. Luckily, she's okay. That was all his fault. There is no other way to construe it. It was completely his fault. Did he mean to hurt the lady and hit her in the Adam's apple? No. He could try to do that another 100 times and try to hit her in Adam's apple, and he probably wouldn't. But he did. And the key is, he did. And it's very clear in the rule book. Very clear in the rule book, as I just went over. That's automatic DQ. You're done. Don't care what tournament. Don't care how great you are as a player. You're done, man. And it shouldn't have taken 10 minutes to come to that conclusion, but they did give him that privilege because he's the number one player in the world, and it's a major in front of thousands and millions of people watching at home. But Djokovic then went to his car, he didn't answer any questions, and then he threw out an apology on social media. You can look at this two ways. One, you can say, listen, he was steamed, he was upset, he needed to calm down, and then he put out the statement on social media. Or you can argue, listen, be a man. You made your bed, lie in it. You had some time after being DQ'd, went in, you showered, you changed. You know, go ahead and address what you caused. And I feel like he probably should have done that. John McEnroe said that as well. I agree with John McEnroe on that because it does look like he was running away from something. Now, maybe he wasn't ready to talk about it. Maybe he was so emotional, he just didn't want to put himself in that spot. I respect that. I understand it. I think it would have been better had he addressed the press afterwards. And you may say, well, what's he owe the press? Well, the press is asking the questions that all of us at home want to know, and that is, what happened there? What happened there? And are you sorry? That's what you need to know. And mm-hmm. And there are people out there like, well, he doesn't have to answer the press. Yeah, he does, because he is an athlete. He is a mentor for some. He's a role model. He is the number one player in the world. That's why you have the press there to ask questions that we, the public, would like to have answered. The problem with the press nowadays is they're shills. Press is, or they're not allowed to ask tough questions. When you ask tough questions, you're going to be censored or left out of things. And so the press has been watered down, or the press has too many other conflicts of interest, so they don't actually ask the questions that you and I and everybody at home wants answered. That's the role of the press. The press is supposed to get to the answers, ask the questions that people want to know, all right? And I'm going to give an example of somebody in the press that really does know what they're doing here in a moment. So Djokovic ends up being disqualified. He does put a deal out on social media saying, the whole situation has left me really sad and empty. I checked on this lines person, and the tournament told me that, thank God, she's feeling okay. I'm extremely sorry to have caused her such stress, so unintended, so wrong. I'm not disclosing her name to respect her privacy. As for the disqualification, I need to go back within and work on my disappointment and turn this all into a lesson for my growth and evolution as a player and human being. I apologize to the U.S. Open Tournament and everyone associated for my behavior. I'm very grateful to my team and family for being my rock support and my fans for always being there with me. Thank you, and I'm so sorry. End of quote. If he would have said that afterwards, they're at the U.S. Open to the press and said, hey, we're not taking questions, which I still think you should, but let's say he didn't. I think that would have at least been a better thing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, but maybe it takes him a while to gather his thoughts and say what he wants, or somebody wrote it for him. It
takes
him
a while for his publicist
to write it for him, and then he, you know, doesn't have to say it out loud. So I have a bit of a problem with that. Djokovic tried to downplay the incident on the court, saying she doesn't have to go to the hospital for this. Well, you know, when you can't breathe for a little bit, maybe. And maybe she didn't have to go to the hospital. I didn't go to the hospital. I got hit in the apple. So maybe that was over the top going to the hospital. I don't know. According to USTA officiating, it's called ball abuse, which makes me laugh. But just say tennis ball abuse would probably be better to say it that way. Chris McKendry talking about ball abuse multiple times was interesting. Verbal abuse is one thing. There's tennis ball abuse, believe it or not. Deliberately hitting, throwing, or kicking a ball that is not in play that hits a person. Deliberately hitting, throwing, or kicking a ball that is not in play that leaves the playing area. Deliberately hitting, throwing, or kicking a ball that is not in play that comes close to hitting a person. Deliberately hitting, throwing, or kicking a ball that is not in play in a manner that could cause damage or harm. Well, clearly he did that. So let's go back, because there are people that don't follow tennis and have know nothing about Novak Djokovic, but boy, they have an opinion. Now, Stephen A. Smith is a tennis guru, of course, now. Everybody has a comment. Everybody has an opinion, and that's fine. You know, that's part of sports talk as well. I get it. We have opinions on things that we don't know as much about as others. I can tell you that, Dusty, I know more about tennis than a lot of people do out there. I can tell you, Dusty and I know Novak Djokovic as a player and know his history a lot more than a lot of people know out there. A lot of people don't know that he's had temper issues, that he has been deducted points before, that he has been close to being suspended before. All right? Novak Djokovic has had issues with his temper. So much so, I don't know exactly when this took place, but this was well before the U.S. Open. He was asked after a tennis tournament. I believe this might have been back in February before COVID-19. Listen to this exchange from a reporter, which is a reporter from England or wherever he's from. I don't know. But listen very carefully to what the reporter asked. And here's Novak Djokovic addressing his temper on the court. Listen very, very carefully. This happened way before the U.S. Open and him getting defaulted.
When you threw the racket, does it concern you that one day that could cost you dearly? I mean, if the ball were to hit someone today, is that something you think you ought to address?
You guys are unbelievable.
Why is it unbelievable?
Yeah, because you're always picking this kind of things. It's incredible.
Keep doing these things. You know, that's
I keep doing these things. Well, why don't I get suspended then?
I'm saying you were close, weren't you? That's what I'm saying.
I'm close. I'm still not suspended, so if I'm not close, I'm not close.
It hit a spectator. It could have been serious.
It could have been, sure. Or it could have snowed. It could have been snow in O2 Arena today, but it didn't.
So you don't think that gives you're not concerned about that sort of your mindset?
So I'm the only player that shows his frustration on the court, right? That's what you want to say. I'm the only player that is showing that.
You're one of the top ranked players in the world.
So you
are showing this frustration. I'm asking you, do you think it's an issue for you?
It is not an issue for me. It's not the first time that I did it.
That was a great exchange, and that was a terrific job by the reporter for not backing down. I would tell you right now, and this might be a bit of an over-exaggeration, but I think this is where we are in the media today. I think 95% of journalists and media people in this country, and I think maybe in the world, would not have done what that reporter did.
No.
They have no stones. They know have kahunas. They're worried about their boss. They're worried about not getting access to Novak Djokovic, that he's going to hate him because somebody asked a fair question. That was an extremely fair question. And the question was simple. You couldn't hear it very clearly. Basically, the reporter saying, listen, you had racket abuse. You've did this. Are you worried this is going to be a problem? Do you think you're going to be suspended? Could you be suspended? Are you concerned about this? Do you think it's an issue? And Novak Djokovic laughed it off, blew it off, and then eventually, clearly, finally at the end, after about 50 seconds, he finally said, no, it's not a concern. This reporter looks a hell of a lot smarter right now, doesn't he? Because it should have been a concern. And I'll be willing to bet you his coaches have been concerned about that for quite some time. And for Novak to blow it off, he's right. Novak's right. He's not the first person to do it. That's not what the guy was asking. The guy was asking him. And why are you asking me about this? You're the number one player in the world.
It's a fair question.
And you did this on the court with racket abuse, okay? So are you worried your temper's going to get the best of you to where you could get suspended? Well, I haven't been suspended yet, have I? Dude, what are we, five? I mean, that right there tells you Novak Djokovic did not take this seriously, and this is a gigantic wake-up call for the number one tennis player in the world after what he did over the weekend in New York. Did he try to hit the lady in the Adam's apple? No. But he's done this before, hitting the ball here, breaking his racket. He's right. Lots of players do it, both on the women and men's side. But also, you know there are people behind you. You know where the people are. Everybody you talk to that's played professional tennis, okay, at the professional level, they know it's a default. Every single one knows. In fact, if Djokovic didn't hit the line judge in the rule book, if he just missed her, he should have been gone. Based on what we just said in the rule book, he could have been gone just for almost hitting her in the head, in the face, in the Adam's apple. If he just missed her. And the rule is the rule, and it is cut and dried and black and white as possible any rule can be. But what Djokovic was hoping for, and I would have done the same thing if I were him and I lost my cool, and I would have been very apologetic because I knew I didn't mean to do it, clearly, but I lost my cool. I knew immediately I'm probably done. And you can see the horror on Djokovic's face. He knew he was done. He knew he was done, and he was worried that he really hurt the lady.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter whether you meant to do it or not on purpose. That's the rule. You lost your cool. That was your doing. But yes, I would still plead my case.
Sure.
You know, I messed up, man. I'm sorry. But look, she's okay. Would. She's okay. She don't have to go to the hospital for this. You know, people want to watch us play, and, you know, I'm so sorry, and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, dude, you don't get a do-over. You don't. You did it. There's nobody to blame but yourself. So for all the people that are ripping U.S. Open for enforcing the rules, you're part of the problem. You're part of the enabling of athletes to think that they don't have to adhere to the rules. You're part of the problem. Because if you're blaming the USTA, or if you, God forbid, are blaming the poor lady that just was standing there doing her job for getting hit in the Adam's apple because it was her she had the power to have the ball. She somehow magically sucked the power of the ball, come straight to her Adam's apple. She's just amazing alien form, I guess. How can you possibly blame anybody besides Novak Djokovic? But in this country, we can. We can see something on television. We can see something that happens live in front of us. And somehow, we can change and rationalize what we saw to fit whatever we want to fit. Even though we know that's what happened. The guy got kicked in the you-know-what. No, I think it was more of the upper thigh. I don't think it really. And then later on, it just got the knee. What do you mean the knee? I was kicking the shin. Well, wait a minute. I saw what happened. The guy got kicked in the you know what. He's singing a higher octave. How in the world? Oh, that guy was acting. He was acting? He can change his voice like that after getting kicked right there? Well, he was asking for it. Really? He was asking it kicked. Who asked for that? Who asked to get hit in the Adam's apple by a tennis ball? Raise your hand, everyone. Please, please, hurry. Quickly. Get in line, because I'll be happy to grab a racket, release some stress, grab a ball, and if you want me to hit you in an Adam's apple, and you're okay with that, and you think that the lady was acting, and you want to see what it's like, give me as many shots as I can. I'll go for it. You're telling me you ain't going to hurt me, you're not going to sue me, I can do this? You want to try it out? You want to find out if this lady was overreacting? Let's put it to the test. Let's do it. Come on.
Yeah.
In that case, you asked for it, whereas this lady didn't.
No.
What are your thoughts on this?
I got two. My thing about this is I'll take a little bit different direction from you, since you, not a whole lot different because you've addressed it a little bit. But here's the thing. If you're on social media and you see something like this happen, it's okay to not have an opinion on it publicly on social media.
Yes.
And not make yourself look like a fool.
Exactly.
Okay, because what you said, morons, idiots, I will use those words for what people were saying on Sunday after this happened. Because there's so many people that right away were like, oh, he got disqualified for that? He didn't even mean to do it. It wasn't on purpose. Doesn't matter. Like I said on my tweet, I said, there's a guy that posted, said, I punched the wall and accidentally broke my hand. What? No, you broke your hand. It was not an accident. It was a consequence, okay? He did not accidentally hit the line judge. That was the consequence of him hitting the ball and hitting her in the throat. And I'm just like, if you don't know the rules, if you don't know what's going on, you can stay away. You don't have to have an opinion and don't have to just like drill this into everybody that this is your opinion. Okay. Right. If I'm watching golf and something weird and strange happens with a rule that I don't agree with, but I don't know the rule is an actual rule, I'm not going to comment on it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put my opinion on some controversy in golf on Twitter and Facebook because I don't know about the sport and all the rules that are involved in it. I know tennis. You know tennis. We know tennis. And I know that just as recently as 2017, Denis Shapovalov from Canada was eliminated from the Davis Cup for hitting somebody with an errant ball.
Hit the umpire.
Yes.
He was trying to hit the ball in the stands, and he mishit it. and hit the umpire and broke his eye socket. Yes. And guess what? He was immediately DQ'd.
Immediately. And Tim Henman in 1995 at Wimbledon,
which was
one of the most well-mannered guys ever, got frustrated after he lost a game. He hit the ball into the net. The ball girl was going to get the other ball that went into the net, and he hit the ball girl in the face. And he was DQ'd right away from Wimbledon, his home tournament in 1995. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens. And the number one ranked player in the world knows the darn rules, okay? He knows. He's been asked about it before, if this will affect him. He knows what the rules are. So you can think it's a dumb rule. That's fine.
Right.
But you cannot think it's dumb that Djokovic got DQ'd from this tournament. It is absolutely, you cannot think that, because the rules are clear. And like I said, there is no wiggle room for the number one ranked player. It's across the board. And two, if you've never been on a tennis court and you've never played the sport, you are not to judge how a tennis ball feels hitting you, no matter where it is on your body, when you are not looking. I've been hit on every part of my body by an errant tennis ball. None of it feels good, and especially if you don't know it's coming. Mm-hmm. If you're not prepared for that, I have been hit in the Adam's apple by a tennis ball. Mm-hmm. I played doubles in high school. Mm-hmm. You never knew where that serve was going to go. Mm-hmm. If somebody hit a bad serve,
you're up
at the net. If you're playing at the net and your partner's returning to the baseline, you never know where it's going to go. I've been hit in every body part by an errant tennis ball. Don't act like just because it has fuzz on it that it's soft. It is not a soft ball.
No, it's not.
It is a rubber ball that gives if you hit it hard enough, and that's how it bounces, just like a bouncy ball, okay?
Yes.
Except this has a little bit of fuzz on the outside of it. Don't act like you can judge how that feels if you've never been hit by a tennis ball that's errant and you didn't know it was coming. And that's the problem for me, is tennis is a sport that a certain amount of people play. It's not a ubiquitous thing. Like, everybody goes out and plays it and knows what it's like.
Right.
Because some people just don't like the sport. Some people can't get the hang of it and
can't move.
Some things. Exactly. And so I'm just like, who's somebody to judge how much it hurts to get hit no matter where it is with a tennis ball? Because I think they have this mindset that, oh, it's not a baseball. It can't hurt that much. Well, it hurts.
Novak Djokovic can serve the ball 130, 140 miles an hour.
Yes.
So when he hits it, even though it's underhand, he hits it in frustration sideways, somewhat hard. That's going to be harder than Dusty and I hitting the ball at the lady. And even then, that could still hurt the lady. And I can tell you, I played, and just to give you an idea of, apparently I was overacting when this happened. If what happened to me on a tennis court when I was in college happened in front of people yesterday, I apparently would have got death threats. Because I was in college and I was playing up front in doubles. You're talking about this. You talk about getting hit in every part in the body. There's a part of your body you really don't want to get hit by a tennis ball. I got hit by it, and I got hit by it on an overhead smash. I was up front, and my partner, who I still hate to this day, I'm kidding, hit a short little lob, and it was a horrible lob. And I was up towards the net in doubles, and the guy goes, and I just reacted. I had no time to react. I just had to react. I was at the net, and he went to hit it hard, and I couldn't turn, and so I just tried to jump. I tried to jump above it. He hit it right at me, and I just jumped. That was my reaction. Well, I jumped, and the ball hit me, and you know what? Woohoo! It hit me there. As hard as the guy could have hit the ball, hit me there. I thought I lost my extremities. I rolled down in pain in a fetal position, and I was in tremendous pain. I thought I had swallowed things, okay? And I don't want to make this too graphic, but if you're a guy, you know what I'm talking about here. It was horrendous. Horrendous. And I heard my teammates, everybody came over looking at me. I heard a couple teammates above me, they go, dude, I think he got hit in the... And one guy started giggling, and another guy's like, oh, God. You know, they felt bad for me. And so to make a long story short, I can't remember if we defaulted because of that or what. I think somehow I still made it through the match. I'm pretty sure I did. I don't know how. Anyway, then I went to the bathroom, and oh my Lord, I was so scared to go to the bathroom after, because I was still in pain, man. And it didn't feel comfortable going to the bathroom. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And luckily, I was okay. I didn't have to go see a doctor or whatever. And I do understand. I don't know if the lady really needed to go see a doctor, maybe, or go to the hospital. But I understand it's day and age. You check it out. I get it. But that still doesn't mean you can say bad things about her. But my point of the story is, man, you don't know, like Dusty just said, how bad things like that hurt until you've actually been hit. And to rip a lady just standing there doing her job or getting hit in the Adam's apple, no fault of her own, and to issue death threats and people threatening her life and talking about how she's overdramatic and that she's a fake and all these horrible things that people are saying about a person that did nothing wrong, it's just ludicrous and just horrible. Horrible, horrible people saying these things that don't know anything about tennis, don't know anything about, maybe never been hurt in their lives themselves. I don't know. But it's ridiculous. There is a fear. There is a sudden fear. When you get hit in the Adam's apple and you can't breathe, there is a fear that you are not going to live. Have you ever choked on a piece of food and you think you're going to die because you got something stuck in your throat? It happened to me a few weeks ago. I was at a table and my family didn't even notice it. I was like, oh my God. I can't get it out of my throat.
Yeah.
There's a piece of meat. I can't. I was like, oh my God, this is how I'm going to go. Because I don't think anybody at the table knew CPR. So there's a sense, there's a second of fear.
Mm.
And there's no question that lady, there had to be fear. When you get hit in the Adam's apple by a tennis ball from the number one player in the world who, yeah, hit it underhand and wasn't looking inadvertent, but still had some speed on it, no question. And he did it out of frustration. It's simple. The guy who's at fault is the guy who got DQ'd, and that's the way it should be. So why is there a controversy?
Because he's the number one ranked player in the world, and you took him out of the tournament because of this silly rule.
Yeah, you prevented him from getting another Grand Slam. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Novak Djokovic prevented Novak Djokovic from getting another major.
He prevented himself from winning a lot of money.
Yes.
He put himself in a position where he could lose more money.
Yes. Could be suspended.
Could be suspended.
Possibly.
Novak Djokovic did that.
All on him. And as John McEnroe so very well, he put it so well, he said the only person that's going to beat Novak Djokovic in this tournament is Novak Djokovic. He goes, it just wasn't the way I expected.
Mm-hmm.
What is up with 2020? What's next?
I don't want to know.
What is next? The Royals, well, you know, when you lose seven in a row, you just try to find a bright spot.
And Mondesi hits it a mile into right field, and that is gone up into the concourse. How about that for a first home run of the year?
How about that? 458-foot home run from Alberto Mondesi. Also swiped second for his 100th career stolen base. He leads the major leagues with 11 stolen bases. I swear, Ricky Henderson steal 11 in 1 week. 11 stolen bases, that's it. And the Royals have played almost 40. They played 42 games. I mean, the stolen base has disappeared from Major League Baseball, and I hate it. I really do hate it. I tell people don't say the word hate, but I hate that. I love stolen bases. Now it's so analytical. Now we got these stopwatches. And then, I mean, dude, that is... The reason I love Royals baseball when I was younger is Willie Wilson, Lonnie Smith. I mean, these guys, George Brett in his early time, he could steal bases. Everybody on the Royals would steal 30 bases. They put the pressure on the catcher and the pitcher. It wasn't all about chicks dig the long ball and we're just waiting for a three-run homer and we strike out four times and then hit a grand slam. It was actual baseball. You move from one base to the other. You could actually got guys that would steal. I remember Carlos Beltran, who had outstanding speed, never did steal as many bases as he could have. If he had a different genre or generation, he would have stole 100 a year, I guarantee you. Carlos Beltran, I remember watching a game against the D-backs where he got on an infield single because of his speed, stole second, stole third, and then he came home on a wild pitch, all based on what he did. He created the run. Mondesi can do that as well if he'd walk more. He could do some of the same things because he is hard to throw out, which is saying something. But he doesn't get on a base enough. There's a guy hitting, what, 189? Or 199 now, Alberto Mondesi can't even get on base. And he leads the league in stolen bases. Imagine what he'd do if he actually got on base. I mean, the stolen base has disappeared. It's actually disappeared. More on the stolen base here in a moment because a baseball great passed away who was known for his speed. Coming up in a moment. It all ties together. Brad Keller yesterday, a bunch of weak singles. He allowed, it just kind of squeaked through the infield. He didn't pitch bad at all. Didn't get what he deserved, but he got the loss is what happened. 6 2/3, 5 runs, 4 earned. The Royals have scored just 18 runs during this 7-game losing streak, which in a 60-game season is 12% of the year. 12% of your season, the Royals have lost every game. 12%, 7 games, 7-game losing streak is 12% of the season. Here is Mike Matheny on that Royals offense.
Yeah, I felt like we had some hard outs again. But yeah, just... You know, pretty good day. You look what Franco did with 3 hits and Doge getting, he didn't have a triple off the police act, but Mondi, obviously, that's a big big step for him, watching the ball jump off his bat. But overall, I thought we had some pretty good at-bats. We just weren't able to string them together and weren't able to find the holes when we did put the ball in play.
So the Royals are now 14-28, lost 7 in a row. You want to win the Central, just play the Royals, and you'll automatically go to first place after playing the Royals. Royals got Jacob Junis on the hill against Cleveland tonight. Junis 0-1, ERA of 4.32, first pitch 5-10 tonight. Yeah, Chiefs football can't start soon enough. Oh, by golly, it's going to come in about, 2 days? Perfect, Thursday.
Yes.
That'll be great. Once again, you hear it on Z96.3, the Chiefs and the Texans pregame at 6 o'clock. Major League Baseball, great. Well, here we go again. 2020 claims another great person and a great athlete and a great ambassador for baseball. Hall of Famer Lou Brock, one of baseball's signature leadoff hitters and base stealers, helped the Cardinals win 3 pennants and 2 World Series in the 60s, died on Sunday at the age of 81. He was an amazing player. He retired in 1979 as a single-season all-time leader in stolen bases, mark since surpassed by Ricky Henderson. Brock was elected in the Hall of Fame in 1985. Just amazing. And he performed so well in the World Series, too, helping the Cardinals win a couple World Series. The dude, during a 12-season stretch, Lou Brock, beginning in 1965, he averaged 65 stolen bases a year and 99 runs scored. Averaged. Batting average, over 300 six times during that stretch. He had 118 stolen bases in 1974, which was the all-time record until Ricky Henderson later on broke it. He finished with 938 stolen bases. Of course, Tom Seaver just passed away last Monday. Remember that? Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Seaver. Mm. Lou Brock faced Tom Seaver 157 times in his career. That was the most plate appearances that Brock had against any pitcher. Isn't that wild? When you think about that, Tom Seaver just passed away at 75, and now Lou Brock passed away at 81. He was part of that team with Bob Gibson and Curt Flood with the Cardinals, where they were very, very good for a very long time. The El Dorado, Arkansas native had a 19-year career. Lou Brock finished his career with 3,023 hits, 149 homers, 900 RBIs, and had a career batting average of 293 and 938 stolen bases. But he was even better in postseason play. In 21 World Series games, let's think about this for a second. 21 World Series games, Lou Brock hit 391, 4 home runs, 16 RBIs, 14 steals. He had a record-tying 13 hits in the 1968 World Series. He never played in the World Series after 1968, but he remained a star for much of the final 11 years of his career. Lou Brock passing away at the age of 81. Give you an idea of his stolen base numbers, because that's the number that I love stolen bases. You just don't see it anymore. Lou Brock, here was a stretch of his stolen bases. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. 63, 74, 52, 62, 53. That's in the 1960s. 1970, 51. 71, at the age of 32, he had 64. Then 63, then 70. At the age of 35, Lou Brock stole 118 bases. At the age of 35, Lou Brock stole 118 bases.
At the age of 40. That's a good career for a lot of guys right now.
At the age of 40.
Even the best base stealers in today's baseball.
At the age of 40, still 21. And when you think about stolen bases, how about Ricky Henderson? Because Ricky came, and Ricky, to me, was the best leadoff hitter in the history of the game. Although Lou Brock was great, Ricky Henderson was amazing. Because Ricky had some power, a little more power than Lou Brock. But Ricky Henderson had 297 home runs. He played for a long time for a lot of teams. But in his heyday, when he was with the A's, and I remember that, and then going to the Yankees. But Ricky Henderson, here is his stretch of stolen bases. At the age of 21, 100, 56, and 81, that was strike-shortened season. Mm-hmm. So 56, 130, single-season record in 1982, 108 in 1983, 66, 80, 87, 41, 93, 77. At the age of 32, he stole 58 and led the league. Ricky Henderson stole 1,406 bases. That blows away Lou Brock for the most of all time.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. You talk about stolen bases. You say, wow, they tried to steal a lot. I didn't even tell you how many times he got caught stealing. In 1982, Ricky Henderson, this tells you he actually got on base a lot. Ricky Henderson in 1982, he walked a lot. He had great discipline at the plate. Ricky Henderson in 1982, he led the league at the age of 23, 130 stolen bases. You want to guess how many times he was caught stealing?
30.
42.
Wow.
42. He tried to steal a base 172 times in 1982, and he's successful 130 times. And you know why? Because he was the prototypical leadoff hitter. He walked. He walked 116 times that year. His batting average was only 267, but he walked 116 times. Man. Thus, when you walked him, you might as well have just called it a double. And that's why Mondesi's got to be more patient at the plate. Then he would get on more. He needs to understand that and figure it out. But Ricky Henderson had three seasons where he stole 100 or more bases. And he led the league in stolen bases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 times, if I counted that right. So Lou Brock and Ricky Henderson, probably the two best leadoff hitters in the history of Major League Baseball. And Lou Brock passed away at the age of 81 over the weekend.
Everybody likes to talk about those unbreakable records in sports.
Those will be unbreakable, the way the game is now.
The way it is now, Ricky Henderson will never even get close to being touched.
There'll be nobody that comes close to 1,000 stolen bases, let alone 1,400.
Yeah, there might.
I'd say Lou Brock's.
The new guys might not even come within 1,000 total of Ricky Henderson.
Yes.
Like, they might get 400 some.
Yeah, Mondesi might.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, those numbers. The NBA playoffs last night, the Clippers and the Celtics victorious.
Yeah, I felt like we had some.
Sorry about that.
Oh, nice pass inside! Subaka! What a pass by Kawhi Leonard, who just threads that pass through traffic, and then Zubats with a pretty play to finish.
Clippers to tighten the screws defensively. Nuggets led for a good portion of the second half, but the Clippers get it done. Paul George, a big game, 32 points, 5 of 7 from 3. Kawhi Leonard, 23 points. Nikola Jokic had 32 for the Nuggets. Jamal Murray held in check. Clippers win 113-107, rally in the fourth quarter, get the win. They lead that best of 7. 2-1. The Celtics, after losing game 3 on a buzzer beater when they could have been up 3-0, then lost game 4, they bounced back with a game 5 victory. They dominated, and they won by 22, at one point led by 30 over the Raptors. So the defending NBA champions, the Raptors, now facing elimination. Jaylen Brown led the way with 27. Celtics win 111-89, lead the best of 7, 3-2. Today, at 5:30 this evening on TNT, the Bucks. I don't know if Giannis is going to play or not for the Bucks. Sprained ankle, had to leave game 4, and yet the Bucks won without him, which was interesting. The Heat lead that best of 7, 3-1. That's the 5 seed lean, the 1 seed. The Bucks trying to be the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a series. The Lakers-Rockets series is tied at 1 apiece. Rockets blew out the Lakers game 1. Lakers had a big lead, nearly blew it, and then ended up finishing it in game 2. That's at 8 o'clock tonight, TNT, Lakers-Rockets, Game 3. The NHL playoffs continuing. Of course, since we last spoke with you, the Stars beat the Avalanche in overtime in Game 7 to get into the conference finals. So your conference finals, the Islanders in the East against the Lightning. The Lightning scored 8 goals last night, 8-2. They lead 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals, it's the Stars against the Vegas Golden Knights. The Stars lead that best of 7, 1-0. That'll be tomorrow night. If you follow golf, you know by now the best player in the world is Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson yesterday was just absolutely, this whole tournament, Tour Championship, he was fantastic. He goes wire to wire to win the FedEx Cup. He gets a $15 million payout, so he's doing okay. He won by 3 strokes over Xander Schauffele and Justin Thomas. He touched off an insane 5-week stretch when you think about it, or finished off an insane 5-week stretch where he lost to just 2 golfers, Colin Morikawa at the PGA Championship and John Rahm in a playoff at the BMW Championship over his last 4 events. He has been 44 under par over the last 3 weeks worth of playoffs, and he got it done again over the weekend. He is just flat out right now the best player in the world. It was his 23rd career PGA Tour win, and likely be the PGA Tour Player of the Year after winning the Travelers Championship, the $15 million paycheck, of course. And now he'll be the favorite. He enters a 3-day offseason as the 8-1 favorite to win the U.S. Open in 2 weeks, and among the favorites to win the Masters, of course, has been moved to November instead of April due to COVID-19. Dustin Johnson talks about his play recently, which has been magnificent.
I had a couple really bad weeks at Memorial and 3M. So I went back home. I really, rested for a couple of days, got some work done because my body wasn't feeling great. But over the last 6 weeks, I've really put in a lot of hard work and really worked really hard on my game and, got it back to in the form that I should be in. And, I'm really, really proud of the way that, I've played over the last 6 weeks. And I'm really looking forward to what's to come.
All right, so Dustin Johnson ends up winning, and he is the best player in the world. And there are some really good golfers that are trying to push him. John Rahm's a great golfer, Justin Thomas, and others. But Dustin Johnson, clearly the best player in the world, at least at this moment in time. All right, a reminder once again for the full high school schedule when it comes to sports locally, go to nckesports.com. Beloit Volleyball tonight at Red Cloud, Nebraska. They'll play Republic County at 5 o'clock, Red Cloud, Nebraska at 6 o'clock. You can watch those via the Beloit Trojan channel at nckesports.com. Once again, Chiefs Thursday night pregame at 6 o'clock, 7:20 kickoff against the Texans on Z96.3 Lake. KU in action against Coastal Carolina on Saturday, 8:30 pregame in the evening, 9 o'clock kickoff. And Arkansas State at K-State at 2:30 Saturday afternoon. And we'll try to get guests on to talk about KU and K-State later on this week. That's been The Ticket. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.